Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Topic. My name is Nathan Garis. I am your host. Shows are live on Tuesdays at 8 o'clock, 8 to 8:30. This show has to be done by 8:30. Got a meeting here after this one, so it's not going to be a little bit of an extended show. Got to this one a little bit late, so I apologize for that, but this is what I look forward to, and I'm going to have a fun time with this. Got occupied with some things this week, so I was not able to quite get through all of the games and look through everything, so my recap here is going to be a little bit on the fly here as we continue going through them. I'll let you know whenever it's kind of a more on the fly thing. Give me one second here. All right, getting right into the news. The topic covers the hot topics in, you know, gaming news, sports news, because who doesn't love their sports? Everyone loves their sports. And just any other things that I'm generally interested in talking about. So if something comes up and I like it, and that means I will talk about it. This Sunday, we're going to get into this gaming news. This Sunday, Telegraph released an article titled, Addictive Video Game Features Should Be Banned for Children as They Are Gateways to Gambling, Church of England warns. Church of England, you know. So I saw that, and that, of course, caught my interest, so I had to go check that one out. If you weren't here on my first show, which was either 2 or 3 weeks ago, I can't quite remember, I covered the NBA 2K20 rating controversy, which is based on the fact that the game so heavily featured gambling. The presence of gambling in the gaming industry has definitely been something that has been growing more and more as the years have passed. Gaming companies have been able to push the envelope on what's become acceptable. Which is something that we can go through another time. We can go through that timeline another time. A quote from the article, from the Church of England says, and then this part is added filler and everything. Addictive computer games are, and then end quote, casting a dark shadow over the colorful world of childhood play, which I like the way they say that. I'll get to that here in a second. The article focuses on the presence of loot boxes being a loophole in the UK gambling legislation and how this presents a gateway into gambling for children. So that's obviously a big topic there. Now, a lot of things to kind of go through on that. That is something I do intend to get into another time. There's been several articles on the UK's from the UK here. Let me pull up one of the links so I can tell you the name of this. Because I do have a couple sources here on this, a couple of different articles on this. The DCMS, let me see what that stands for. UK Department of Digital Culture and Media Support, or the DCMS. They have recently come out with a statement on the presence of loot boxes and is calling for action from the UK government to help try and, you know, amend this issue and help take care of it, help, you know, crack down on this. So absolute hands off, hats off to them. I love to see that, because that is obviously a huge issue, and it's something that should not be taken lightly. My take on this article: I was very happy to see an article that was not focusing on the games themselves being the issue, but was instead able to separate the gambling mechanics or loot boxes from the actual games themselves. Unfortunately, that is an issue that is, you know, casting a shadow on the entire gaming industry as a whole. And it's adding fuel to a fire of people who are casting not just negative opinions, but in some cases hateful opinions on the gaming industry as well, but mainly on the community. Not something that I like to see, but I'm happy to see this article come out. I haven't had a chance to read it yet, so I'm not backing what they're saying yet, even though from the brief snippets and quotes I've seen, it seems like they're on the right idea here. I'll have to give my a better report on that, or a better understanding of that once I have the chance to read that. In other news, the gaming development company CD Projekt Red has confirmed that Keanu Reeves' character is not going to be a romance option in their upcoming game, Cyberpunk. Now, for those of you who do not know what the romance option is in role-playing games, if a character is a romance option, it allows you to have a more intimate and physical relationship with that character. Trying to explain this in a very safe way. I'm sure most of you get what that means. Which, qu- quite frankly, you know, the whole meme culture and everything behind Keanu Reeves, I'm sure it's definitely jokingly disappointed some people. But still, just funny to see that they even came out and said that. I'm sure it's something they were asked about a lot, so that's why they came out with that response. But absolutely hilarious to see that. And lastly, for gaming news, NBA 2K20 has done something, quite frankly, that impresses me. And if you're in the gaming industry or gaming community, you know, in general, I think you'd be impressed by this too. No, they didn't do something good, because that is not what we expect from 2K games and 2K development. That's not what we're talking about here. They recently became the second worst rated Steam game of all time. Now, while majority of the game, the people who play the player base, the majority of the game's player base resides on console. I can personally speak, because I am also a person on console. I feel as though they are speaking for the community as a whole. Now, this was a planned, from what I've read, more of a, you know, like a dislike or, you know, downrating, you know, kind of like it's more of a planned thing. In response to all the negative things that 2K20 has been putting out for us, and this is a part of the backlash to that. So, I feel as though it speaks for the community here, that it has my full support in that. I don't support hateful comments or, you know, any personal attacks on the people in Take-Two Interactive or 2K Studios, but I do support the critiquing of their work and the making it, quite frank, making our opinions very vocal here in the gaming community. Now we're gonna go to the sports section of my show. So we're coming out with a new segment here on the show. Last week, to replace the long and drawn-out NFL recap that I did last week. From now on, I'm going to be doing something a little bit shorter, called short sentence recaps. I'll go game by game and give, you know, a quick one short sentence on each game. Then I'll kind of give an explanation on what it is I said there. Some of those explanations will be longer, depending on the statistics behind it and how much of a feeling I have into that, or, you know, what it is I say. Others will be much shorter, just the way it's going to be with some of these things. So the ones I have done so far, we'll go through those, and then we'll kind of go through the other ones. So I got through a decent chunk of the games, but I didn't get quite through all of them like I wanted to. Going to start off, the Bucks at the Panthers. Short sentence. Cam disappointed us. I don't think it's something anyone can, you know, protest against. The numbers speak for themselves here. We're going to break through that. Cam Newton has come out this year, many of us expecting him to return to where he was when he left off last year before he got injured, because he did play through the injury last year. But before that happened, he was having a great year. However, so far he has come out throwing at a 56% completion percentage, which is the second worst, you know, completion percentage he has had out of his 8 seasons prior to this one. It is worth noting that he's averaging nearly 45 attempts per game, currently averaging 44.5 attempts per game, which is 11 more, if you call it 45, it's technically 10.5 more. 11, we'll just say 11 more, though, for the sake of just trying to keep everything, you know, simpler. 11 more attempts than his previous highest back in 2016. Cam Newton is he's yet to throw a touchdown. And, you know, I don't think that's something that you can ignore. It's week two. You have to have thrown a touchdown by now, especially whenever you have thrown the ball 89 times. 89 times and not a single touchdown to show for it. All around a very poor start to the year for him. And I have a little comparison to make to that, but we'll get to that here in a minute as soon as we get to the player I want to talk about. Cardinals at the Ravens. Is this the future? Two young quarterbacks duking it out in a competitive game. A lot of fun to watch. You know, I got a chance to see a couple things from that. I'm looking forward to the future of the NFL with these two quarterbacks being potentially, you know, on the higher end of the talent. Obviously, they still have a lot to prove. I'm not going to sit there and say that they don't. But, you know, we have Patrick Mahomes, Baker Mayfield, Carson Wentz, all young guys, Dak Prescott, which they're all very formative young players, and they're all looking, you know, like great quarterbacks. So it's exciting to see a slightly different style of play because, you know, Carson Wentz, he fits right into that stereotypical big man, big quarterback, very Ben Roethlisberger build, if you know what I mean. You know, he's big. He has the athleticism to move if he needs to. Hard to take down. Strong arm quarterback. That's exactly what you see in him. But then you have these guys who are bringing a much different approach. And who knows? The game's always evolving. We'll have to see what happens here within that in the next few years. Chargers at the Lions. Good job, Lions. We can go on and on about how the Chargers should have won this game. The Chargers were the clear favorites. They are the much better team than the Lions are. The Lions have always had question marks around them. This still hasn't changed. When the Lions came in, they defended their home, defended home turf, and they deserve the credit for that. Because I've seen a lot of other shows. I saw on Collins the Herd. They kind of focused more on the Chargers and that and how they really should have won that game. But I just want to take the chance here to say, good job, Lions. They got out there. They got that win. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I think that's something they deserve that credit for. Because they obviously, at a lot of times, get overlooked. And not to say they don't deserve to be overlooked or that it's not, you know, unreasonable to do that. But there's some cases where they deserve the credit, and this is one of them. Colts-Titans. Colts might win the AFC South. After Andrew Luck's retirement in the preseason, everyone scrapped this team. Everyone scrapped this Colts team. And that's myself included in my predictions. I'd have to say, you know, this is, you know, definitely something. We all thought this would be a very middle-of-the-pack team for the AFC. There's a lot of good competitive teams there and a lot of, you know, underdog teams who we thought had the edge. And they are 1-1. They did lose their first game. No, I say that, and I'm quite confident in that. But, you know, part of me says I want to double-check that because I'd feel like a real idiot if I was wrong in that. Jacoby Brissett's playing great. Yeah, Chargers 30, Colts 24. I just wanted to double-check with that. I wanted to make sure I got that right because I'd feel like a real idiot if I had that wrong. And here's the big thing why I want to say this. With the recent developments and injuries that have happened in the AFC, I think they have a shot at winning the AFC South or maybe even being a wild card team. Don't count this team out. They might be the big surprise team here. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl by any means, but they might sneak their way into the playoffs. Look out for them. 49ers-Bengals. Exactly what I said. Last week I said if the Bengals don't expand their running game and if they remain a one-dimensional team, they would fail. They still had a great game in the air, though. I have to admit, that is not something I expected. I thought that coming into it, the 49ers, even though they don't have an elite defensive secondary, they have a decent one. Their strength's definitely up front in the box. I still thought they'd be able to shut it down a lot better than they did. Andy Dalton's been playing great. But still, I don't see that continuing going forward. I didn't expect it to continue into week two, but you know, who knows? Maybe they continue to surprise us. However, like I said, it's a one-dimensional team so far. This team cannot run the ball. They combined for 19 carries on 25 yards this week. I think they might have less. See, now I want to see how many rushing yards they had last week. Because I think they quite genuinely might have. I think I just saw it here, what I was looking for. They do have over 50 rushing yards. Where was it, though? I think they had 59 rushing yards I saw. No, hold on. Okay, so total rushing yards, it says, is 59. I'm not sure what this underlying broken down thing is. It says rushing 33. Maybe this is 33 attempts. I think that's what that's saying. So 59 yards on 33 attempts, averaging 1.8 per carry. That is not going to last. It's not a team that's going to win. Not something that surprises anyone. It's not what we're expecting from this team. But just something you got to point out, and I'm sure they know that as well. But still. Jaguars at Texans. Gardner Minshew looks good. He played another good game this week, and it's absolutely exciting to see. Obviously, you hate to see Nick Foles go down. You hate to see a starting quarterback go down. But what you love to see is a backup quarterback come in and play great and rise to the challenge and subvert all expectations. It's a great story. It's a great thing to see. Something that people always love to see. No matter what sport, no matter what it's in, you love to see an underdog, or you love to see someone who you don't expect to be quite that good play at such a great level. It's obviously great to see. Looking forward to that. Keep an eye on him. See what he can keep doing. This Jaguars defense is a great team. Speaking of the Jaguars, though, because we're going to go through a couple things here. Speaking of the defense, Jalen Ramsey apparently wants out. Even without him, they still have a lot of talent there. That's something to note. It's absolutely something to note. Vikings at Packers. The defense for the Packers, they look great. They have not played in any amazing offenses right now. They have played an elite level, though. We'll have to see what happens whenever, let's say that they run into a team with a much better offense. I'd have to double-check their schedule here, but, if they run into a team like the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Falcons, anyone with a much better offense, I want to see what they can do then. But as of right now, they definitely have not disappointed. It's absolutely worth noting. Mitch Trubisky and Kirk Cousins. I'd have to check this study, check who did this report. But I saw a report on the quarterbacks who have thrown the most deemed uncatchable balls. Mitch Trubisky ranks second, and Kirk Cousins ranks third, if I remember correctly. They had like roughly 25% of their passes, I think it was, were deemed uncatchable. So, that's something obviously those two teams have to shore up. And the number one quarterback in that, since I have that, since I'm talking about that, was Cam Newton. Cam Newton was throwing, he was nearly 30% of his passes. I'd have to look and see what this, who put out the report and what exactly it said. But over 30% of his passes were deemed uncatchable. Just adding to another, it's another statistic that shows he is having a really poor year. That's a big deal. Cowboys at Redskins. Pay Dak Prescott. I don't know how many people have to say it. I know they're working something out. But that's all I have to say. The numbers speak for themselves. 7 touchdowns in the last 2 weeks. Pay that man. Seahawks at Steelers. Steelers season is over. Ben's out for the season. With him goes all my hopes. The defense showed good moments in the game, but they obviously fell short in the crucial 4th-and-1 there in the fourth quarter. That was an absolute blow to the fan base, especially finding out later, a few days after that game, I think it came out yesterday, that Ben was going to be out for the rest of the season with elbow surgery due to the elbow injury and needing surgery. He didn't want to go out, but at this point, it was beyond his control. It's what he needed. It's unfortunate to see, especially as a Steelers fan, seeing what feels like your team's playoff chances and hopes fly out the window. That's absolutely kind of sad to see. We'll get into some of the what they did here in a little bit. I'm sure, as you all know, they made a trade with the Dolphins for a person whose name I'm blanking on, actually, for some reason. Let me find his name. Minkah Fitzpatrick. I knew something along those lines of Fitzpatrick or something like that. But, we'll get into the trade details and what my opinions are on that here in a little bit. If we have the time for that anyway. Bills, Giants, Josh Allen looks legit. The Bills team they have major upset potential this year. Who knows? Like I said, with the injuries, maybe they can even be a sneaking playoff team. They have not played any real opponents yet. The Jets, who are healthy, admittedly, week one, who obviously are now. And then the Giants are, you know, competing in the Tank Bowl. They're competing for the number one pick this year. We all know that. So, I mean, I think they can play ball. I think they can do what needs to be done. But, you know, until I see them do it against a real team, I will hold my reserves. But I'm looking forward to see what this team can do, and I think it's going to be something that will be really exciting for everyone. Patriots at Dolphins, I mean, come on. Yeah, the Dolphins are going 0-16, and that's all I have to say about that game. Now, this is where I kind of was not able to catch up to the other games and not get everything figured out. So I'm going to go based off what I saw a little bit of, and, you know, it's not going to be as great or as in-depth of a thing I'm going to have on these teams. Chiefs-Raiders. Yeah, we all knew. That is unfortunate. My recording just got paused there. So there's going to be a little gap in that, but that's fine. We'll have to live with that. As I was saying real quick, just so that way I do have it on recording, the Raiders absolutely proved something last week, but we all knew they were never going to win this game. You know, so it's what it is. Patrick Mahomes, as always, is looking like an absolute stud. He is the next thing. He is the next face of the week once Tom Brady goes, or who knows, maybe Tom Brady will outlive Patrick Mahomes, because Tom Brady just seems to be the ageless Terminator of the NFL. So, you know, it's whatever at this point. We'll have to see what happens there. Looking forward to the future of the NFL with these young players we have coming up. Saints-Rams. It's sad. Really upsetting to see Drew Brees go down. It's his thumb. He's going to be out. What was the exact injury? It was a hit by Aaron Donald. His hand, I think, when I saw the clip, it hit Drew Brees' hand after a throw. And it's absolutely sad to see that happen to him. So, torn ligament in his thumb, that's what it was. Teddy Bridgewater's going to have to come in and step up and revive this team and keep them going. He's going to have to win some of the next few games. I'd have to look at their schedule here, which I can attempt to do right now. Let's say the next six games he's out. I think it's a realistic expectation or realistic hope that he can win at least guaranteed two of these games against the Bucks and the Cardinals. We'll have to see what happens. Seahawks, Cowboys, Jaguars, Bears, those are all really tough opponents. I mean, the Saints have a really tough schedule. It's going to be tough for them, but we'll see what they can do. Bears, Broncos. From what I heard, the Broncos kind of got robbed there, and they probably should have had that win. But I don't know that for certain, so I can't go on about that, or I can't really talk about that. All I can say was a low-scoring game. Mitch Trubisky still needs to step up, because I know he didn't have, you know, a fantastic game. Yeah, 120 yards, no touchdowns, 16 for 27. That's not a great game. They did a great job on the ground, though, between Montgomery. And Cordell Patterson had two carries. I didn't see what those were. If I had to guess, this is pure speculation here. I'm guessing they were on some sort of end around, or, you know, some sort of wide running place. He still picked up 50 rushing yards. That's still a great job by them. That is something, you know, that we all know what the Bears defense is. We all know what they're going to be capable of doing. They're going to be probably the toughest defense to play against all year long. So, Falcons-Eagles. Falcons did it. I had them winning that game. I knew it was going to be a tough game, especially after what they showed me last week against the Vikings. I got nervous. I got real nervous with that game. Carson Wentz threw, you know, two picks. You can't be doing that against this team. You can't be putting the ball in the hands of that offense. The rushing game didn't look great. 18 carries for 46 yards. Falcons defense evidently showed up. I'd have to assume Matt Ryan also threw a lot of interceptions this game, three interceptions, but, you know, he delivered more, you know, for the offense. He threw three touchdowns, as opposed to the Carson Wentz is one. So at least that offsets it for him a little bit, but, that was a tough game. And, you know, the Falcons obviously still have things they need to get sorted out. The Eagles need to bounce back from that, but those are two of the top teams, you know, and it's going to be a A lot of fun to see those two going forward. Browns, Jets. Jets don't have Sam Darnold. They are missing two players on the defensive side. So let me see who they were. Cause I read that they had the two big players there in their defense out. Let me see if I can figure out who it is. CJ Mosley and Quentin Williams, it appears to be. Quinnen. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. But yeah, those are absolutely key players in their front. So it is something that we all knew was going to happen. We all knew the Browns are going to come in and just sweep the floor of this game. Nothing you could have done about that. Le'Veon Bell, 21 carries, 68 yards. You know, there's only so much you can do with that offensive line, but he did get 10 catches for 61 yards. I was not able to watch the game. I was, you know, doing stuff. I had meetings. I was busy during that game. But a buddy of mine told me whenever he was watching the game, he said that Le'Veon Bell looked like he had a lot of potential here in New York. He said that the statistics for him in this game did not match what he looked like he was doing out there in the field. He seems like a guy to me that's always really been real well educated, and he knows what he's talking about with football. So I'm gonna trust what he says here, and I'm gonna say that. I obviously don't know for sure because I did not catch that, but. Yeah, that's all I got to say. That is it for the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Nathan Gowderies. This is The Topic. Looking forward to see you guys next week. Shows are on Tuesdays from 8 to 8:30. I look forward to these every week. Hopefully, I'll be more prepared next week. Unfortunately, I got busy, though. I got a couple ideas coming up here, but I'm looking forward to doing this again next week. Look forward to seeing you guys. My name is Nathan Gowderies. This is The Topic. Have a great one. When she looks me in the eyes, they don't see me.